This is your host, Dr. Robert. Let me tell you what's on the radio this week. Yes, that's the name of the program, What's on the Radio, your guide to Yarra Valley FM 99.1, broadcast at this time each week.
I live in the hills, you live.
In this hour, you'll learn what's new and upcoming, when to tune in so you don't miss them, and you'll hear briefly from a couple of presenters, and each week we'll listen back to highlights of one of the community talk shows here on Yarra Valley FM.
Hi, this is Avalon. You're listening to Yarra Valley FM 99.1.
Ultimately, the war in North Africa was about the Suez Canal. The British forces wanted to protect it and Egypt because that maintained links with Britain and also Australasia and the Pacific. Tobruk was important because it was the best deepwater harbour in North Africa between Egypt and Libya. So Tobruk's a really big story.
Because the Tobruk garrison was forced to dig in under constant bombardment, the Nazi propagandist Lord Hawhor declared that they were caught like rats in a trap. The men, hearing this on the radio, adopted the name as a defiant badge of pride and became the Rats of Tobruk. Major General Leslie Morshead was their very aggressive commander. A Gallipoli veteran, his troops dubbed him Ming the Merciless. It was a spirit that he passed on to his men, who, rather than being passive and waiting for the Germans and Italians to come to them, went out into no man's land each night to patrol and to harass the enemy. Morshead's intention was to keep the enemy away from the outer perimeter. He summed up his policy of active defence quite simply. Tobruk's not here to take it, he said. We're here to give it. That defiance, along with qualities like mateship and humour, were in the tradition of the stories with which the rats had grown up, of what their fathers, uncles, and older brothers had achieved in the First World War. They were very much the sons of the original Anzacs, and at Tobruk, they achieved their own legendary status.
I will be talking with the amazing Bob Ganaway from the RSL. We'll be talking about the Rats of Tobruk, so make sure you're a part of that with me, Bruce Argyle, here on Community Conversations next Thursday morning. We look forward to that.
This is the story of Terry's Biscuits, a tin of Anzac biscuits in the care of the Australian War Memorial. On the 29th of November 1966, Lance Corporal Terry Hendel received a tin of homemade Anzac biscuits from his mum Adelaide. Terry had been with the 6th Battalion Royal Australian Regiment in Vietnam for 6 months, beginning his tour of duty on the 31st of May. He was serving near Nui Dat as part of Operation Ingham. Adelaide and Desley, Terry's sister, regularly sent him homemade Anzac biscuits while he was deployed, which he shared with the men of his unit, the Assault Pioneer Platoon. Terry decided to wait until he finished his patrol that night before opening the tin to enjoy the biscuits. Sadly, Terry never got to enjoy his biscuits. At 10:15 p.m., some Viet Cong came up to the perimeter of the platoon's position and, when challenged by the sentry, opened fire with an automatic weapon before withdrawing. Terry was one of the three men wounded in the attack. Despite the best efforts of medical staff, at 2:55 in the morning, 30th of November 1966, Terry died, aged 20. His body was returned to Australia and buried at the Pinneroo Lawn Cemetery in Queensland. He was survived by a young wife and daughter. Terry's unopened tin of biscuits was returned to his mother Adelaide after his death. She kept the tin with her the rest of her life, and every time she moved house, she would carefully carry Terry's biscuits in her lap to her new home. The tin has not been opened since Adelaide first sealed it in 1966. It still has the original masking tape, and you can feel the weight of the biscuits inside. The Australian War Memorial will never open the tin, just as Adelaide and Desley never opened it. That was the story of Terry's Biscuits.
Today, I want to talk about Mashup Monday.
Hey, listen in to Mashup Monday on Yarra Valley FM.
Let us kickstart your week with lots of great music, regular segments,
famous birthdays and mouldy oldies,
Mashup Monday, 9 a.m. to 12 noon, Yarra Valley FM 99.1.
The voice of the valley.
The sound, the station.
2 o'clock's a great time of the day. You've got all your jobs out of the way in the morning. You've got an hour and a half maybe before the kids have got to be picked up for school. Sit back on your sofa, get a cup of tea, get a biscuit, and be entertained.
You're with George Peden. It's never sounded better.
Radio is everywhere.
With the people.
Everyone listens to radio.
Working girls listen to a favorite baritone.
Businessmen listen, relaxing at home. Radio is everywhere.
With the people.
Through town and country, the programs flow.
Working people listen.
Business people listen. Everyone listens to radio.
Hello, Elizabeth here.
You must have wondered, what on earth is this fella,
yes,
who you last saw shovelling manure on the garden?
Philip, shut up, dear.
Has suddenly appeared here.
Yes, Yarra Valley FM 99.1.
More tea, Vicar?
Join Mark Tuesday mornings for breakfast, 7 till 9.
If you don't put some air in them tyres, you'll end up in Dickie's Meadow.
Come and share my passion for great music on the Jollies with Jennifer. Brilliant music, a bit of trivia, nostalgia and memories, and I can almost guarantee you'll want to get up and have a dance. Indie, soul, rock, dance, reggae, jazz, classical, electronica, country. 3 till 5 p.m. Sundays on Yarra Valley FM. Sometimes you just need tunes, don't you?
But anyway, I'd better get on to the next tune before I end up in Dickie's Meadow.
Hi, my name's Abby and I'm from London.
My name's Wally and I'm from Kilsyth.
My name's Sarah and I'm from Mount Evelyn.
And you're listening to Yarra Valley FM 99.1.
Hello, Alan Collier. You present the Community Connection Show every Wednesday. What's that about?
The Community Connection Show does a variety of things. We have a number of groups come in, organisations like CIRI, U3A. We also do one-offs for organisations that want to come in and promote themselves.
So your program's still got room for more? Is there a opportunity for other groups to get involved?
Absolutely. We can either have them in once a month. We can have people that come in just want to do a one-off because they're promoting something that they're doing in the Yarra Valley at a particular time. And today we've got Anchor with us. Now, we've got two people with us. We've got Natalia from the Yarra Valley Council and we've got Helen from Anchor. Helen, could you just give us a very brief overview on what Anchor do?
Sure. Anchor are a community organisation out in the Outer East and we support people that may be struggling with housing and homelessness. And we also have a foster and kinship arm as well that support carers and young people that are in out-of-home care.
So where do you get your clients from, Helen?
Well, we have opening doors in Lilydale, so that's sort of a walk-in service. We're at the TAFE where people that are experiencing some challenges and need some support can just walk in there and have a chat to some of the Anchor staff. We also have a youth foyer, so that's supporting young people that are experiencing or at risk of homelessness, and we support them with accommodation for 2 years and help, you know, assistance with connecting with education, connecting with employment and connecting with the community, which is a big focus of what we do at Anchor. We really hold a high importance in integrating our young people who may feel alienated in with the wider community.
So, Helen, from what you just said then, I gather you're not an organisation that pops in, has a couple of interviews where the person says, feel free and, you know, move on. You were saying then you have some of these people for a couple of years.
Yeah, definitely. And sometimes they might, you know, have experiences across the organisation. They'd say they might be a young person in care and then come through and, you know, join our workforce. So
and volunteer.
Yeah. So we're really kind of embedded in the community here and we feel that we're quite well loved by the community as well. Yeah.
Now, we know Council does a lot of variety of things, but you're obviously involved with Anchor as well.
Yeah. So thanks, Alan. I work in the youth development team at Yarra Rangers Council. And prior to this role, I was actually working at Anchor. So I have a really positive relationship and know the good work that Anchor does. Given that it's Youth Homelessness Week, Helen and I are going to be talking about the experiences of young people experiencing homelessness in the region. And so we do a lot of collaborative work with Anchor. The main focus of our work at Council is on prevention programs. We deliver programs that that support young people to develop skills in leadership, in advocacy, in developing resilience, promoting mental well-being, and also educating the community on the role of young people and the important voice that they have within communities. We really focus on some of those drivers that lead to homelessness, such as mental ill health and all sorts of other things, and through our work try to address those primary drivers.
I have anchor Helen with us, and also from the Yarra Rangers Council, Natalia. While we can have a bit of fun, it is also quite a serious subject we talk about today, because it is Youth Homelessness Matter Day. I guess, Helen, we'll ask you, what's your approach to homelessness and how you develop your services for us?
Sure. So we have a couple of services that we do have within our youth development services. So first and foremost, we have our youth foyer program. So we're able to accommodate 15 young people at the moment between 16 and 21. And we actually have, 9 mums and bubs that we support as well. So young women that are on their own with their children. And we offer like the traditional foyer model, which is 2 years accommodation with supporting them through engaging in education and employment. So that's a really key service that we provide.
When you talk accommodation, you supply them accommodation in something that Anchor are involved in, or you organise it for them?
So we have access to properties. We have share accommodation for our young people. So we have 3 young people in each of our units. So they learn skills around sort of living and independence, and also around share housing, which is really valuable when they do need to sort of branch out from our support and enter into the private rental market. We also have support for young people. We sort of do some outreach support if they're at risk of homelessness and sort of struggling to stay engaged in education. We can help with, you know, maybe a laptop or some tutoring, or just getting some of their paperwork in order. We also have a Creating Connections program within our program, which is about supporting young people that, you know, might just need that extra help getting into the private rental market. So we have a little bit of brokerage around that, and we can help them set up their household if they need support with that. And we also have a family reconciliation worker. So often, you know, homelessness can kind of be averted if we can get in and intervene early enough and sort out some of those challenges that families have and young people have.
Helen, can I just ask you 2 things? First of all, you said the foyer is 16 to 21s. Do you only deal with 16 to 21s, or what age group do you start?
Well, the minimum is 16. Like, yep. We have gone over 21. We kind of feel like that's sort of a, you know, there's a lot of young people in that age group, and it's
But you don't go below 16 normally.
No, we couldn't really do that. We can support young people to some degree. Yeah, so for our program, they need to be on a payment, like on some sort of Centrelink payment.
Now, you said with the mums, you've got some mums and young children. Are we talking there single, like young mums?
Yeah, so we have mainly young mums with their children. We have actually supported some young families as well within the program. It's a little bit different because we're doing sort of really parenting support as well at times. But it really is, our focus is really on education is the way forward. Looking at the young person and what their strengths and skills are, and then creating opportunities so they can go to that kind of next level and then support themselves. So, you know, often it can be about sort of breaking the family patterns as well.
When you get involved, is it very much a counselling service, or is it do you try to get them back into school if they haven't been to school for a long while, or do you try and help them get their job? Or do you just support them as a person?
Our focus really is on education. So when we have a counselling meeting when young people first come into our program, so they meet with our counsellor, and then what we do is we work with the young person individually to find out what it is that is unique and what their strengths are, so we can kind of support them in working out a bit of a vision for their own future. And then we are definitely focused on education. So we have a fantastic relationship with the Box Hill TAFE out at Lilydale. A lot of our young people actually end up attending there.
our focus at council is on primary prevention. One of the ways we do that is by emphasizing the important role that young people have to play in the community and how integral they are in the decisions that we make, especially at places like local government. So one of the ways that young people can get involved in that important decision making is through our youth ambassador program. So we're now recruiting, and they're paid positions, casual, 3 hours a week. We encourage all young people to apply regardless of previous experience. You don't have to have any experience in youth leadership or anything like that. It's an opportunity for young people to learn those leadership skills and see how local government works, and actually be part of some really cool projects that help shape how we work with young people and how we work with the community more broadly. So applications for that close on the 2nd of May, and all applicants will be invited to attend a free training session on interview skills on Wednesday, the 5th of May. But this isn't compulsory. Best way to learn more about the program and apply is to head to our social media at Yarra Rangers Youth on both Facebook and Instagram. And you can also find us online. So you can find us, if you just search Yarra Rangers Youth, you'll find our website with all of the programs that we run. One of the other groups that we're recruiting to is the Youth Advisory Group. This is really an avenue for young people to advise the council and create youth-led resources. The group meets twice a month and members are compensated for their time.
So I'm just going to play the devil's advocate there, because some people say, oh yeah, look, I go along to council and I tell them what's going to happen and nothing ever happens. So I want you to convince the young people that they're going to really have some sort of influence.
Yeah, that's a really great point. And thanks for the opportunity to address that, because I know that that is a perception, and it's something that we're working really hard at council to address. You know, one of the focuses for our strategy is community partnership, acknowledging that community organizations and community members and individuals do a fantastic job in the community to bring people together and to support one another. So we're really working to enhance that. And one of the ways we do that is to recognize that young people bring so much expertise and lived experience that we really want to listen to that. And one of the ways that we show that is by valuing their time. We're one of the only youth ambassador programs that actually compensate their young people. By paying them for their time, it's a concrete way to demonstrate that we truly do value youth voice and youth expertise. And internally within council, we're always advocating for youth voice to be part of decision-making processes.
Terrific. Now, there was something else that you wanted to mention as well.
Yeah, so the Youth Advisory Group. The Youth Advisory Group is currently recruiting. We're looking for anyone aged 15 to 25 years who live, work, or have a significant connection to the Yarra Rangers area. This is a really inclusive and diverse group. We really want to hear from everybody across the region. It doesn't matter what experiences you have. If you want to have a voice within council, if you want to have a voice within your community, this is a really fantastic opportunity to meet other young people who want the same things and to actually have an impact in the way that decisions are made in your local area.
Again, how are they going to apply, and is there a closing date for those?
Applications close on the 5th of May for this one. The first one was the 2nd of May. This group closes the 5th of May, and you'll find us again on our socials at Yarra Rangers Youth. And it's a great idea to just follow us on social media, because we're always posting opportunities and news, and there's heaps of really fun things coming up for young people who are interested in a range of different things.
You're listening to Community Connections, and I have with me Anka and also Natalie from the Yarra Rangers Council. Helen, Natalie's just been telling us about the advisory groups and all that, but tell us a bit about your youth voice, and also you've spoken about this foyer two or three times. We don't know what the foyer is.
Is actually something that's sort of come across from Europe, actually. So there were foyers that were set up to support young people that were homeless with accommodation, and so they would be given the opportunity to sort of engage in education or employment or whatever it was that was just going to break that cycle of homelessness. So the Brotherhood of St. Lawrence have been really involved with setting up like the culture of the foyers here in Australia. So we work within that model, and what it is, it's about using an advantage thinking approach, which is spending time with the young person, looking at what they've gone through and really sort of reframing it and thinking about it in a way that showcases their strengths and what their talents are. So we really want to focus on what it is that's going to bring them out of this situation and move them forward and get the best out of life.
Take it away from the negative to the positive, do you?
Absolutely, absolutely. So we don't focus on everything that's gone wrong and everything that sort of, you know, might have stood in the way. We just look at building a path forward. So we look at what the young person's good at, what they're interested in. Will they create their own vision? And we just support that. So, and, you know, we really focus on that, getting into school or looking at what your career path can be. And within our program, like, they get all the support that they kind of need in that space. And, you know, and like with the Youth Voice, like, we really, a big focus of what we do is having young people involved in our decision making. Like, a young person was on the panel when I was employed at Anchor. Like, they, you know, they're opinions and their ideas and their perspective on everything is really valuable to Anchor. It's a real sort of key part of how we operate.
It's not the Anchor make up their mind and say, well, this is what you're going to do. It's really driven from the ground up, from the young person, what their needs are, and then you go about addressing those needs, but also changing their views from, you know, negative, that this has always happened to me and the world's never going to go any better, and you turn that into a positive. Am I right on that?
Yeah, and giving them an experience where they can actually see that, you know, that their opinion and their ideas matter and can actually be transformed into some action and to some really positive results.
This is a program that I'm particularly passionate about because I coordinate it. It's called Defrosted Events, formerly known as Freezer. So we're still known as Freezer on our website and on our socials because our new name is hot off the press. But basically, Defrosted Events is an arts, cultural and music events program. So it's about teaching young people how to deliver awesome youth-led events. And one of the key things that I'd like to emphasize is that you don't have to be artistic to be creative, and you don't have to be creative to put on awesome events. So this is really about anyone who is interested in the creative industries, or you're passionate about the arts, or just want to learn how to put on events, join Defrosted Events, again, also known as Freezer. And
I remember Freezer was a great organisation.
Yeah, exactly. It's been going for more than 20 years now and has had amazing outcomes in the community for young people who have gone on to have amazing careers in the creative industries. And so we provide training and we connect young people to professionals in the creative industries. It's an opportunity to learn also of skills in event management and leadership skills, and also to connect with other young people who are interested in the same thing. So we meet every Thursday from 4:30 till 6:30 on Zoom. We have face-to-face meetings once a month. So young people who are interested in any of our programs, they can head to our socials, but they can also call or email us. And you can call us on 9294-6716. If you just want to have a chat, 03-9294-6716. So if you want to have a chat and find out more about what we do and see if it's for you, feel free. We're all pretty friendly. Just give us a buzz. If you'd prefer to email, you can email us at youth, so Y-O-U-T-H, at yarrarangers.vic.gov.au.
We're always always looking for opportunities for our young people. So we've got some amazing young people in our program, and so we're just sort of putting it out there into the community. If anyone does have an opportunity for them, like employment-wise or volunteer-wise or service-wise, you know, we're always looking out for opportunities. So if anyone, you know, is out there that has anything that they'd like to connect with us around, like, we'd be really happy to speak to them.
Helen, can you also give us some contact details?
Sure. So anyone can call Anchor on 8761 9040. So again, that's 8761 9040. And we also have a website that's really comprehensive, got great information at www.anchor.org.au.
That's Community Connections with Alan Collier, 12 noon Wednesday, right here on Yarra Valley FM 99.1, your community radio station.
The AFL Outer East Match of the Day on Yarra Valley FM 99.1. Join us on Saturday at 1:30 for this week's Game of the Round. Join our uninterrupted description right here on Yarra Valley FM 99.1.
Let's go back to your childhood, 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 childhood.
Here we come, walking down the street. We get the funniest looks from everyone we meet.
Hi, Willie Wilde here, encouraging you to check out the Three-Headed Goat Show, Thursdays between 7 and 9, hosted by Keith, the Pipe, and Mickey. These guys rock, they're hilarious.
I feel it in the static. He lives in my basement, and I can hardly face it. My performance is easy. I am the god of romance, and in my confusion, I'll have the right to reign. He stole my Oscars. He trades on my jokes. He makes all my engines go up. He puts Annie in the arsenal. A comb in my fro. Divine retribution, and away we go. Jumping
Sorry, Marge, wrong tape.